We'll start with a few minutes, just sit quietly, and then I'm going to read Magic Ladron's account of the three levels of metta. Remember, she's the 11th century Tibetan yogini who is central to the whole lineage of Chöh, of cutting, selfing, cutting, ego clinging, which combines both wisdom and compassion. So she talks about the three levels. When she talks about metta with reference to beings, she does it in a very Tibetan, traditional Tibetan way, in terms of beings as our mothers who've helped us in life after life. So you can take that completely literally if you want. But you can also just take it as a way of reflecting on just how interconnected we all are and how reliant we are in our lives. We often look at our lives and feel, well, you know, people haven't been very good to us really in some ways. But just to grow up, just to get an education, just to become part of society, just to be here, actually, directly and indirectly, we've received a great deal of help and support and kindness. So I'll read that, and then we'll just have another short period of meditation, just open sitting. And then I'll ring a bell. And then we'll have the Bodhicitta mantra. So it's the Avalokiteshvara mantra, but also with the addition that Om Bodhicitta Utpatayami, causing, inviting, encouraging the Bodhicitta to be present, to arise. And the shrine has gone through further transformations. So as well as Amitabha, we have both Avalokiteshvara and Tara. So that outgoing bodhisattva aspect of the awakened mind is fully present. And Tara also seems to be guarding these bowls of people who could do with our metta. So while that mantra's going on, you can make offerings, which I'll say something about in 1 minute. But you can also, if you've been being a metta steward for someone over the last 24 hours, you can put them into this flat bowl nearest me. And if you want to be a metta steward for someone else over the next day, you can take another dip into the bowl just by Tara here. Yeah? And in that way, I mean, there's so many names that we make sure that we're covering all those who haven't yet been included in our metta. So I mentioned offerings. So while that bodhicitta mantra is going on, we can make offerings, including offerings of a nightlight. And what I'd like to suggest is this. I was talking a bit today about getting that kind of combination of compassion and metta for people and situations, but also along with that, the equanimity that comes from the fact that they have their own karma, they have their own lives. Finally, we can't make everything better for everyone. All we can do is have a positive influence. We can just be there fully present, with an open heart, ideally in touch with the refuge. And that will be a benefit, but we can't guarantee any outcome. Yeah? We just do that. And if we can be there without worrying about the outcome, very often the person in the situation, they're worried, will it be okay, won't it be okay? We see if we just don't get involved with that. We're just there. Yeah. So to help us with that, I'd invite you to imagine someone with whom you are involved, someone to whom you feel some attachment even. I leave it up to you, you know, how involved and how attached you want to be. You know, it can be anything from just a friend of yours that you've been involved with, up to, if you're a parent, you know, one of your children. It's really up to you. So what I'd like you to do is imagine that nightlight is that person, is the life of that person. And so you light the light and you offer it to the Buddha, you offer it to the refuge with a sense of really wishing them well, but with a sense that they do have their own karma, they have their own life, that finally all you can do is be a help and a support. Finally, you're not responsible for them. Finally, you can't control their destiny, however much you may care about them. And with that feeling, you offer that light, you entrust them to the refuge. Yeah. We can't carry the weight of responsibility for another person. Yeah. So we just offer that light to the refuge. We entrust them and their life to the three jewels. Okay, you get the idea. Yeah. And then when the mantra's finished, if there's a bit of time, we'll just sit a bit more. And that will be it. And then tomorrow we go on to positive emotions supported by spiritual receptivity. And the plan is to have a quieter day, sort of a bit less input, a bit less of my voice. Yeah. A bit more opportunity to absorb. So we'll sit quietly just for a few minutes, then the reading. A little bit of time to absorb the reading. I'll ring a gong. And Dhyajyoti and Yashobodhi will start the mantra. And while that's going on, we can put the person we've been stewarding in the flat bowl. If we want to take somebody else, we take it from the bowl just behind Tara. And we can make an offering of light, symbolizing that we're in trust, we're aware that the person that we're entrusting has their own karma. We're entrusting them to the refugees, entrusting them to Amitabha, Avalokiteshvara, Tara, and the Buddha. Magic Labdrin on immeasurable love. All sentient beings, without exception, even those who have personally harmed us, have been our parents. An unimaginable number of times, they have acted as our only mother and nurtured us without regard for their own health or wealth. They have nurtured us while enduring many hardships, regardless of any conditions, such as their own non-virtuous action, suffering, and bad reputation. Think, all sentient beings are my mother. Once you've seen those mothers suffering, you'll think with undivided yearning. In order for me to clear away the suffering of all those mothers and help them, I will give up my body, enjoyments, and roots of virtue for their sake and work for their welfare, until cyclic existence is empty. I will cause all sentient beings to have all happiness and the root of happiness, which is virtue. That is called love with sentient beings as reference. Essentially, in the ultimate sense, nothing is established as existing. However, in the relative sense, since I will attain enlightenment based on those sentient beings, they have been tremendously kind to me, and I must definitely benefit them. Furthermore, they don't understand that all phenomena lack even a hair's tip of true existence, that they're like a dream or an illusion. Holding on to the truth of confused appearances, they create only unskillful karma and experience the consequence. Unbearable suffering. Freeing them of this ignorance of ego fixation, I will show them the wisdom of timeless awareness and place them on the path of enlightenment. That thought is called love with Dharma as reference. Those sentient beings that are the object of meditation on love, the self that is the one who meditates on love, and the essence of love itself. These three have no real existence from their own side. They are empty of their own essence. In that, the radiance of emptiness is unimpeded. The mind of love is aching. The altruistic mind is resplendent. To remain free from all extremes of conceptualizing and abide without dualistic fixation, like the middle of space, within the continuity of timeless awareness, is called great love. It's called love without reference. You need to blend this with your mind after meditating on it for a long time. Then it's called immeasurable love.
Padme Hum. Om Prani Padme Hum.
Padme Hum. Om Mani Padme Hum. Om Mani Padme Hum. Om Mani Padme Hum. Om Mani Padme Hum. Padme Hum. Oh,
Om Mani Padme Hum. Om Mani Padme Hum. Om Mani Padme Hum.